Morning. It's good to be with you. This morning I'm going to be in the second epistle, the second letter of Paul, the apostle to Timothy. This is a letter that was written to Timothy. He was a young preacher, and just talking to him about different things, about being a preacher, about how to lead people, how to live his life, just different things like that. This morning we're going to be talking about the calling, and I've entitled this RSVP. Now, when I was in French class in high school, I learned what this meant. It means respondez-vous, s'il-vous plaît. You put it on letters, and basically what it means is, I'm inviting you, I'm calling you out, I'm asking you to come to something, and you need to let me know your answer. Are you coming or not, is basically what it is. And that's what we have to do with Jesus. And we're going to start in verse 8 of chapter 1, 2 Timothy. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." All right. So he's talking to Timothy. He said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me. I'm a prisoner. Paul was in jail for his faith at this time. And he's telling Timothy, I don't want you to be ashamed of this gospel. I want you to be bold with it. I want you to go out there and not be ashamed, but be proud of it. And that's not pride in ourselves. That's pride in the gospel, pride in Jesus Christ, not the testimony of our Lord. And he said, of the afflictions of the power and all this that he was enduring, he says, I want you to understand, even though I'm a prisoner, I'm telling you to be proud of what made me a prisoner. Now, that takes a bold statement of a person to say those kind of things. I mean, you know, you would think he'd say, well, don't do like I did and be in jail. You know, that's really what we would expect someone to say. But he's saying, no, he said, what put me in jail, you need to be proud of, and don't be ashamed of it, Timothy. Get out there and say this. Now, verse 9, it says, who has saved us? He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he said, and called us with a holy calling. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this holy calling. This holy calling was made before the world began. The foundations were laid for salvation before the foundations of the earth. And that's what the Bible tells us. Now, that may seem odd to us, but that's not odd to God. And that's just the way he chose to do things. And he placed it there so that we could have salvation. We could have an opportunity to come back and be with him. And that's what he's talking about, this calling. And I'm going to ask you this morning, how are you going to respond to this calling? So this RSVP is being put out with the invitation, and it's saying you need to respond. You can't just say, well, that sounds like a good invitation. You know, it'd be like getting an invitation to a party and go, hey, this really looks good. They've used a correct font here. It looks right. They've really placed it out there. Man, it's just beautiful. And never respond. Never tell them I'm coming or I'm not coming. You've got to let God know. You've got to let him know while you're alive, and you must do it. And he said, if you do not acknowledge me in front of man, I'm not going to acknowledge you in front of my Father. That's what Jesus said. And the reason he said that is because if you're not going to do that, it's not real. You know, you may get an invitation from someone and you go, I don't really care for this person. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ignore it. Well, they're never going to know how you feel about them. You've got to respond. You've got to let them know. He talks about this. Who has saved us? Now, we've got to talk about this right now. What is this saving? If you've got to be saved, then there's got to be some sort of danger, doesn't there? You know, if you're sitting in your recliner and everything's fine, you're probably not going to look for salvation for any kind. But if you're out there in a turbulent water and you're drowning, you're going to look for some salvation, right? Because you're in trouble. You understand that. You know that. And so you've got to understand what this is. And I want everyone to know this, whether you have accepted Christ or not, of what you need to be saved from. It's eternal damnation. It's eternal abidance in hell. Hell was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels that rebelled. But it will be the home of those who reject Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is throwing out the lifeline. I love that song, Throw Out the Lifeline. That's exactly what he did when he came down to earth and he defeated death, and he made an opportunity, an avenue, a street for us to go down and get to the Father. He's saying, this is what it is, because I don't want you to go that way. And this was created, this bad place, this bad road was created when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden was a real place. It's not some figment of somebody's imagination where we go, well, you know, it's just like Atlantis or something like that, some mythological place. No, this is real. And it was a place where Adam was placed. He had to name everything. Now they made jokes about him naming everything, you know, and he got to the fly and he didn't know what to name it, so he called it a fly, you know. But it was his job to tend the garden, to take care of that until the fall of mankind. And there was only two of them at the time, but it did everybody in. And because of him, and the book of Romans tells us this, by one man sin was brought into this world, by one man the sin debt was paid, and that man is Christ Jesus, and that's who Paul is talking about. He's telling Timothy things he knows, but I'm telling you what, I need to know this all the time. I need to be told this all the time. Every single day, I need it to be reinforced in my mind every single day so that I keep on this path and know, hey, you know, this is the right way. You know, I've been called out and I want to be that. You know, last week we talked about this, about being called out. But he said, you've been called with a holy calling, not just some sort of calling. Go, hey, you want to come over here? No, this is a holy calling that God is saying, hey, won't you come out of what you're doing? Won't you come out of that sinful life? Won't you accept salvation? Won't you be saved? And he's calling you today. The salvation is offered. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's everyone. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone. That's what he wants. Those two small words, any and all. And I hang upon those because it means so much and it's so relevant to us. He's not willing that any should perish. Well, that's everyone around. And he wants all to come to repentance. That all is you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes everyone. He wants all to come to repentance. That's everyone. So he's called with this holy calling. And he's still calling today. You know what? It didn't stop. That's the thing. It didn't stop. You know, it didn't stop with Adam. It didn't stop just when Jesus left and went back to be with the Father. It keeps on today. That's why we keep preaching. That's why we stay after it. That's why we get in pulpits. That's why we get on the radio, the internet, any way we can get so that people can hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We got to tell them. We've got something here that everyone needs. And I want everyone to have it. That's the whole point. Everyone. We want everyone to know what the good news is. We get enough bad news, don't we? There's bad news everywhere. You know, Ann Murray had that song, sure could use a little good news today. Well, we all need a little good news because really all we hear is bad news. You know, we got 24-hour news services and they've got to be on the air and they've got to have something to talk about. So they talk about everything bad. And if it's not bad, they'll make it bad and make it sound bad and create these things. And we know this, they've been caught creating fake news. They've been creating situations and saying things that aren't true just to get attention of people. Well, I want to tell you this morning, I want to get your attention with some truth, some good news, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said he's the truth. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. So this is the truth this morning. I want you to know what this is, the holy calling, and it's still going on today. He's calling you today. He wants you to be saved. He does not want you to be left behind. He wants you to have a home in heaven. And so Paul's telling him, who has saved us, he says, don't be ashamed of this, because here's why. Because we need to let everyone know who has saved us and called us with a holy calling and not according to our works, not according to what we've done. See this? This is a thing that we get into. We want to do and do and do and have that count for something and say, well, I gave to charity. I helped some people. And, you know, I do some wonderful things throughout the year, not just at Christmas and all these other times. I take care of people and all these things. And those are all wonderful things. And we need to keep on doing those. But he said, not according to what we do, our works. So, you know, this is a kind of one of those Christianese terms we throw out there, our works. It just means your actions, what you do. And it means that we're not saved according to that. We're not called out because of that. We're not called out. And otherwise, there'd be a line and we'd say, well, you get to go and you don't get to go. And well, you measured up and you didn't measure up. And here's the thing. Nobody measures up. When it says all of sin and come short of the glory of God, that means everyone did not measure up. Everyone missed the mark. Everyone is wrong in the sight of God. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has gone against God, and it's not against other people. You may have sinned against other people, but ultimately, it's sinning against God. When David was caught up, when Nathan called him out and said, well, you know, you're the man, and about what he had done with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite and everything, having him killed, he said, I've sinned against God. Yeah, he caused a man to get killed. He took his wife. He had an illegitimate child. He had done so many things wrong to people. He had lied about all these things, but he said, I've sinned against God. See, that's who you got to take it to first. You got to go to God and say, you know, I've sinned against you, and I want that free gift of salvation. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. What was his purpose? That people could come to him. That people could be saved, that people could have a home in heaven, that people would not have to be left where they are. Folks, I'm telling you, we need this good news today. Our world is in turmoil, and, you know, it tells us that we're going to be that way. You know, we talk about, you know, that we can go and we can pray to God and everything will be okay. That's not the truth. This whole world is in disarray. This whole world is in sin, and we tend to tell people in church, well, if you'll just pray, everything will be all right. Well, that's not true. It's not true at all. We've been told that this world is getting worse and worse, and it's going to get worse, and perilous times will come. How do we do this? We do pray, Lord, help us to stand up and be that light in this world. Help us to tell people about Jesus Christ, because it will never be right until he comes again. And when he comes again, it's all going to all be made right, and we're looking forward to that day, but it's according to his purpose and his grace. His grace, which is given to us, we don't merit that favor. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. Our works won't do it. Nothing we do will measure up. You can be the greatest philanthropist in the world. You can give all your worldly goods. You can live in poverty. You can do all these things. And without Jesus Christ, you're still not going to heaven. You're going to hell. And we don't like to talk about that. A guy wrote a book, you know, that hell was not real. And boy, man, that lit the churches up, because they said, great. We don't have to measure up anymore. We don't even have to worry about this. We can do whatever we want. Well, if you're a saved person, a child of God, you're going to want to be about his purpose, about everything that he has said. Your praying is going to be different. Your life is going to be different. Your aim in life is going to be different. Everything you do is going to be different. You're not going to be praying for things that you don't need and wealth and all these things. You're going to be praying that you can tell somebody else about Jesus, because they need that. Folks, when it all boils down to it, nobody's going to have anything. Let me tell you something. You don't take anything to the grave. And I've got a friend, he makes a point of saying there are no U-Hauls behind a hearse. When they take them down there, you got you in that coffin, and that's it. You know, and I've always told him, I'm going to make sure there's one behind yours, just as a joke, just to make sure. But his point is this, and it's a true point. You don't take any of it with you. They're not going to pile all your stuff in there with you. And even if they did, somebody would be digging it back up and trying to get it. Or they'd just say, hey, wait a minute, let's hold on just a minute. We'll take this and do something better with it. And all you're looking at with all your stuff, if somebody doesn't just come in and get it, is an estate sale. If somebody else will come in and buy your junk, and then one day they'll have their own estate sale that somebody will buy the junk. And that's all there is to it. It's not about stuff. It's not about what we've done. It's not about our prestige. We get caught up in that as well. Well, I'm this person and I'm that person. And, you know, I've held this office, or I've held this position. And we do this in church. People get a position in church and they'll tout that around. Well, you know, I'm this person in church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. And they hold it over everybody's head and said, see there, I hold this position. Well, Paul said, you know, if anybody's got anything to brag about, he said, it's me. He said, I was a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I had it all. I was it. You know, I was up and coming. Paul was an up and coming person. That's the reason he got the letter to go to Damascus, because he was an up and coming. They said, Paul will take care of it. At the time, he was Saul. And when he got converted, he changed his name to Paul. Paul means little. Saul means great. He understood it's not about that position anymore. But he said, if anybody has a right to brag, it's me. But he said, I'm not going to, because I can't. I can't, because I'm saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Nothing I brought to the table. I didn't bring anything in exchange that would equal to any of this, any of my works, my position, nothing. It was all according to God's purpose and his grace. Paul was now in prison. because of preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at this. He came, he was a Benjamite, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He could have just said, you know what, this is not worth it. I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, I'm getting thrown in prison. No, I'm going to renounce all this. But he didn't do that. In fact, he stuck to his guns. Even appearing before these magistrates and everything, he still told the same thing, told them, you need to get saved just like everyone else. Doesn't matter whether you're a king or the very bottom, digging in the muck, you need Jesus Christ. And that's the thing of it. This is a great equalizer. We talk about equality in our world, and we say we want this. We don't truly want this. I promise you, the people that are going around ranting about equality, they don't want equality. They want superiority because they want to be over you. They want to tell you how to live. They want to tell you what to do. They're not wanting equality, and that's the way it works. And all these dictators that come in and say, well, we need to make everyone equal. The communists and the socialist systems said we want to make everyone equal. It never does, because that's not their intent. That's not their purpose. They want superiority. They want to be in control. Well, see, God is in control, and what he wants is to give it to us. The Bible tells us if we accept Jesus Christ, we become heirs with him and joint heirs. That means we get what he gets. What does he get? Everything, the kingdom. You say, well, that is that why we're doing that? No. No, we're doing it because we want to serve him, because we understand that he is over all. He's the one that keeps all this together. You know, I had a conversation with someone just a few days ago about the solar system and everything that's in this and how it's all held together. And we know kind of what stuff does. We still can't define gravity. We know what it is. We can measure it, but we still don't really know. Why does this hold everything in? Why does everything rotate around this sun and not just go flying off? Why don't we just go flying off this earth as it spins? Why are we still held here? You know, it's this gravity stuff, but we can't define it. We don't really understand it. We look at it, and even when we make a discovery, we didn't create it. It was already there. Every time that we get a better microscope and we see something smaller, it was already there. We didn't discover it. It was really there. We're just able to see it. God knew it was there, and he created it. When we get a better telescope and look out there and see something different, it was already there. You know, it was just waiting for someone to see it. And we look at these things, but God knew it. He said he made everything, and Jesus was the one that made it. He said everything was made by him, and nothing that was made without him. That's what John said. And John was right there with him. John walked with him. Now, this was a guy, too. He spent his time with the physical being of Jesus while he was here on this earth. And yet he worshiped him and praised him and said he is God, and that he is. And so it's according to his purpose and his grace, this holy calling, is according to his purpose and grace, but not because of anything we did, and so, which was given us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, that's where we got this. Jesus died on the cross. That's the way we got this gift. We've got this calling. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through anybody else. You can go out there. You can hug trees. You can go out there and seek enlightenment up on top of a mountain with some idiot that claims to have every answer in the world. And you can go and you can give him all your worldly goods. And all you're going to do is make him rich, or her, or whoever it is. Jesus isn't asking you to bring anything, because it's all his. If somebody's saying, well, if you'll give me this, then you'll get this. Well, you're wrong, because Jesus said, you can't bring anything to me. You can't bring anything of a value, because it all belongs to me anyway. If you'll just bring yourself, I will give you. I will give you this. I will give you salvation. He says, does that mean I'll have riches and I'll have all this stuff? No, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go away. You know, I've had people that really think that, well, if I get saved, then everybody's going to forgive all my debt and I'll never have any bills. Nothing in this Bible says that. In fact, it says you're going to keep on living, and you're going to keep on living until he comes back, but you're going to keep on working while you're doing that. You're not going to forsake his work and just sit back and say, well, I've got mine, so everybody else can get theirs. No. What do? You get out there and you start working and working and working for him. That's where our works come in, because it says we've been saved unto good works. We didn't get saved because of our works, but we got saved so that we can work. And we'll go out there and work, and we want to tell people about Jesus Christ. If you had the greatest medicine in the world that got rid of cancer, and cancer is a word that it scares everybody. And don't tell me it didn't scare you if you ever had it, or you wouldn't scare you. I've talked to too many people. Well, that wouldn't bother me, but when that happens to them, it scares them. And it is a scary proposition because these old bodies want to keep on living, and that scares us. But I'm going to tell you right now, the death rate's 100%, still is, always has been, and everyone will die, and that's why we tell these things. But if you had the cure to that, if you had the cure to every cancer, you wouldn't take it home and say, I'm going to keep it for myself just in case. No, you try to get with every doctor, every distributor, everything you can. You wouldn't even want to charge for it. You want to give it away. You want everybody. And you say, well, no, I charge for it. Then you're a greedy person. But you would want to give it away. You've got the cure. If you're a saved person, you've got the cure to the most dread thing in the world, death. And look, you're going to die a physical death, but you can live a spiritual life, an eternal spiritual life. And you can have that life with Jesus Christ. It said it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, that's a tough concept to grasp, and I understand that, man. People have asked me, well, do you fully understand that? Nope. No, my mind's just too small. And Isaiah tells us that his ways are higher than our ways, and his everything that he has is higher than ours, his thoughts, his ways, everything. And I thank God for that. But I know I can't wrap around, and I've tried, and I look at it, and I said, this is great. This is great. Eternal life through Christ Jesus. These things were laid down before the foundations of the earth. How did that happen? He's God. Those things are his. Time means nothing to him. That's another amazing thing, but it was before that. He said, but it's now made manifest or created or right in front of us through Christ Jesus. And you say, well, he lived a long time ago and all these things, you know, that's old fashioned stuff. No, it's still relevant today. And I will say this, and I'll say it, and I'll say it, and I keep on saying it. You cannot convince me that this is not true because I've seen too much change in people. I've seen change in lives. I've seen addictions defeated. I've seen marriages mended. I've seen people just created new in Jesus, become that new creature. And that's what it says we're supposed to become, is that new creature. And so I've seen it, and I've seen the evidence of it. And all these other guys that were with Jesus had seen all this stuff, and that's why they kept on going. Paul had seen it. He'd seen people change. He'd seen people in his old life. He knew what had happened in his own life. Let me ask you something right now. Did you have a change in your life? You say, well, I got saved, but I never really saw a change. Then you didn't get saved. You say, well, you don't know that. Yeah, I do too. Bible says that you're going to be changed, that you're going to be a new creature. You know, I've seen people and they got saved, and people will tell me, well, that's the way they've always been. Well, no, that's not the truth. That shouldn't be the truth. If you're still a mean, nasty person after you get saved, you didn't really get saved. You came up, you got to use some fire insurance instead of hell assurance that you're not going there. And that's what we need. We need that assurance of Jesus Christ. He said it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. That abolished means done away with. Done away with. It's over. You can't be scared by it anymore. The Bible talks about, oh, death, where's thy sting? We read this at funeral, oh, death and grave, where's your victory? Where's your sting? You don't have it anymore. You don't scare me. I've got a shirt that says, you can't scare me. I have two daughters. You know, it's a joke, but you know, the thing of it is, you know the truth now. You've been there. You understand that. When you get saved, you say, I know the truth. I know what's going to happen. I know where I'm going to go. I know when my eyes close in death, I know that that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. You know, I've heard preachers and some of them famous said, you know, when you hear of my death, I'm going to be more alive than I've ever been. And that's the truth. See, the calling today is, do you want that? The calling today is that, do you want that? Do you want that eternal life? Do you want that new life? Do you want that assurance? Do you want that peace that goes beyond understanding, where you know that death has been abolished for you, that you can look at it and go, yeah, know it's going to happen. Not really looking forward to it, but I'm not afraid of it. I know where I'm going. I know what's going to happen. And I know I'll be with those that have gone on before. We talk about that. And I'm telling you, I've done funeral after funeral after funeral. And there's a difference in one when you do one for somebody that says, I know where I'm going. You preach the gospel at my funeral. You preach the gospel. Don't you try to preach me into heaven. I'll already be there. Versus those who people come up and go, I don't know if they ever made a profession of faith. One of the first funerals I ever did, maybe a second or so, it was for a guy, and his son came up and told me that. I don't know if he ever made a profession. I'd talk to him, he wouldn't. And other people would talk to him, and he wouldn't. And his son just told me that, and I thought, how sad this is. You know, I can't stand before these people and preach this man into heaven. And the other preacher got up and talked about how great he was and what he'd done and all this stuff, you know. But there was no admission of faith. I mean, maybe he did, but, you know, there was none. But I've had that other where I can stand before everyone and go, look, that's just a shell. Just a shell of a person. I'm looking forward to seeing them again someday. So the call is upon us. Death has been abolished and hath brought life and immortality. No death. The Bible talks about this, that we're going to be changed. Our bodies are going to be changed to non-corrupt, which means sinless, and immortal, which means living forever. No death. Thank God for that. And we can look at that and know that we can have that. And you can have that today. The call is here. You need to RSVP today. You need to let God know what you want to do. You don't know if you're ever going to have another time. You can't say, well, I'm going to wait until the day of. You know, you could do that, you know, and at certain parties, you might get there and go, wait, you're not on the list. You didn't respond. You didn't let us know. And so you're not on the list because we didn't prepare for you. There's nothing here for you. This is not yours. This is not your party. This is not where you belong. You can't go in with the rest of them. The rest of them responded. And so we prepared for them. And you've got to tell God right now. You can't wait till the day of because you don't know if you're going to have any time. You say, well, I'm going to live a long life and I'll wait, you know, and I've been told this, you know, when I'm about to die, then I'll tell you, man, people have died and never even seen it coming. You know, maybe you will, but more likely you won't. You know, how many times we say, boy, they were young. They were young. You know, they had a lot more life left to live, you know, and we see young people. And I'm telling you, I'm getting older and a lot of the people that die are younger than me. And I'm looking at it and go, they didn't have much of a chance. I see kids that die. And it breaks my heart. It tears me up. You know, they didn't have a chance to live life, get married, have kids or not have kids or not get married or go to college or not go to college. They didn't have all that. They didn't have that opportunity. You know, and even when someone is elderly, we say, well, you know, they lived a long life. They had it. But, you know, there's still mourning in your heart, isn't there? Still mourning in your heart for that person that they're gone and you're not going to get to talk to them anymore. And I've talked to my family that there's people that have been in my life. And I said, I'd give quite a bit of money for 5 minutes with them. Just 5 minutes of speech, you know, from them and to just sit and listen and not even really talk and just maybe hold their hand and just say, talk to me. You know, that's mourning in our hearts, even though we know maybe that they're going to heaven. You say, boy, that's mourning in my heart. And that's that old selfish being is saying, boy, I'd love to have 5 minutes with them. But, you know, they wouldn't come back if they could. But you need to RSVP. You need to respond today. You need to tell Jesus whether you want to accept him or not. Because you don't know what breath you've got in your life. You don't know what beating of your heart is left. Please accept Jesus Christ today. Respond to this calling. He has abolished death and has brought us life and immortality to light. Through the gospel, the good news. That's what I'm telling you this morning. I want you to accept Jesus Christ this morning. I don't want you to get out of here and go, no, I don't know anything about it. And I'm going to tell you right now, the invitation has been laid at your feet. You cannot say, well, I don't know anything about it. For all sin and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will confess the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There you go right there in a nutshell. We call it the Roman Rose. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus died for you. The other verse is that he died for us. He commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. So he died for you right where you are. Won't you accept Jesus Christ this morning? If you have accepted Jesus Christ, won't you get on the stick and tell somebody about Jesus today? Won't you go and worship him? Won't you tell him, Lord, I just appreciate you saving my soul. I thank you so much for it. I thank you for that eternal life that I've got in my life, that I know that I've got assurance, and I want somebody else to have it, and go to somebody you don't even like. How about that? And tell them about Jesus. Or meet somebody on the street and tell them about Jesus. Won't you do that today? Won't you do it? I want you to do that. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. We're on the air. We're on the internet so that people can know the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to continue. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. And may God bless you. And please, please, please accept Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.